Shalom, Moadim L'Simcha, and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernovsky, and this show is a special one. I'm not recording at my usual time. It is Monday, Chol HaMoed Sukkot. I'm not recording from my usual venue, which is my office at the Israel Center. I'm recording from my sukkah in Ramat Eshkol. And we'll see what we could accomplish as far as Sukkot, Chol HaMoed, Hoshana Rabbah, Simchat Torah, Shmini Atzeret, Geshem, whole bunch of things, and maybe a touch of Shabbat Bereshit. So you know when I'm recording, when this will play, I don't know. I will be putting it up on the Israel Center Torah Tidbits website, as well as sending it to OU Radio, as well as sending it to Arut Sheva. When it goes up, you'll know probably before I will. That said, let us say Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph Psalm 121, which is the Tehillim that we read at the beginning of the show when we don't say Tachanun, which we don't, of course, during Sukkot. Shir lama'alot esa einai el heharim me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai osei shamayim va'aretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha Adonai tzilecha al yad yaminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmor cha mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha, Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'ad olam. Achinu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara l'yirvacha u'me'afela l'ora u'mishibud l'geula hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Sometime between now and last recording, I realized that I made a mistake in the number of days of Chol HaMoed. I was thinking Pesach rather than Sukkot. So just to get that out of the way, in case anyone noticed, or even if you didn't notice, it goes like this. The Torah mandates 7 days of Sukkot. Strangely enough, it says 7 days shall be Sukkot, the first day will be holy, and the eighth day will be holy. What do you mean, eighth day? You didn't say anything about 8 days. That's the way it works. There's a, I don't know what you want to call it, an ambivalent way of looking at the eighth day. Sukkot actually has 7 days, the first of which is Yom Tov, Chag, holy. The following 6 days are known as Chol HaMoed, also known in English as the intermediate days of Sukkot, but even that's a misnomer because technically if we're talking 7 days of Sukkot, then it's 1 day of Chag and 6 days of Chol HaMoed, but I wouldn't call them intermediate, except for the fact that the Torah adds an eighth day, which serves the double role of being like the eighth day of Sukkot and like being its own holiday. So we have 8 days mandated by the Torah. First day is Chag, last day is Chag, 6 days are Chol HaMoed. Because of the technicality of our practice of Chagim, different between Israel and in Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, there is an old minhag, the reason for which doesn't really apply anymore, but the minhag stays, and that is that the Chagim are observed on 2 days each, not one, as we do here in Israel, and as the Torah mentions. So the first day is really the first 2 days. The eighth day is the eighth and ninth day. That leaves 5 days of Chol HaMoed in between. The last day of Chol HaMoed, both in Israel and in Chutz La'aretz, is Hoshana Rabbah, and we'll talk about that in a moment. but sort of that's the way it works. So I told you that I'm recording this on Monday. Monday is the fifth day of Sukkot. In Israel, the fourth day of Chol HaMoed. In Chutz La'aretz, the third day of Chol HaMoed. See, it gets confusing. But the fifth day of Sukkot. One thing of interest, many things of interest, but one of them is that each day of Sukkot, because it has a different number of animals that were brought in the time of the Beit HaMikdash as a Musaf, each one is mentioned separately in the Torah, and the Torah speaks of the first day of Sukkot, and the second day, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth today, and the sixth tomorrow, and the seventh Wednesday Hoshana Rabbah, and then the eighth day, Shmini Atzeret / Simchat Torah. As far as Pesach is concerned, there is no difference between the Musaf sacrifices from day to day. So the Torah tells us that on the first day, this is the configuration of animals that are brought, and Ka'ele, like those, are brought on each of the days of Pesach, giving the days of Sukkot more of an identity than the individual days of Pesach. Notwithstanding that, the individual days of Pesach each have their own Torah reading, as well as a maftir-like reading in a second Torah, where Sukkot has a very simple Torah reading each day here in Israel, a little bit more complex in Chutz La'aretz, but let's not get into that. The opening music of the show, by the way, was the melody of a Sukkot song. It comes from the sentence that is added to Birkat HaMazon on each of the 7 days of Sukkot. Harachaman, may the merciful one, Yakim Lanu, stand up, erect for us, Sukkat David Hanofelet, Hanofelet. The Sukkah of David, which is a nickname, we'll say, for the Beit HaMikdash. May God rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. So we have Sukkah, which has its own meanings, and we have the concept of Sukkat David Hanofalat, the fallen Sukkah of David, which is the Beit HaMikdash. So that was the tune that started the show, and let's proceed. Okay, let me mention a Mishnah and see where it takes us. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. The first Mishnah speaks of 4 Rosh Hashanahs during the year. The second Mishnah says that the world is judged by God at 4 times, 4 junctures. It starts with Pesach. The world is judged for grain. How much or how little grain, how it will affect the economies of the world. On Shavuot, the world is judged for the fruit of the tree. On Rosh Hashanah, people are judged. And on Chag, which is a name used for Sukkot, Nidonin al Hamayim, we are judged for rain. Now, the Mishnah in Ta'anit, first Mishnah, asks the question, when do we start mentioning in our tefillah, in our davening, in the Amidah, that God is the rainmaker? So there's an opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that we should begin mentioning God as the rainmaker from the first day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yehoshua says the eighth day. And I'll tell you in advance, the halacha is the eighth day, because on Shmini Atzeret, which in Israel is called Simchat Torah, we have Tfilat Geshem, and we begin saying, among God's other descriptions, that he is the Mashiv HaRuach Umorid HaGeshem, the one who causes the wind to blow or the rain to fall. Now let me interject at this point that there are many descriptive terms that we use in prayer for God, and most of them, we say them all year round. So he is a Somech Noflim and a Rofei Cholim, the one who picks up the fallen and heals the sick, and that we say all year round. But when it comes to describing him as the one who causes the wind to blow and the rain to fall, we do that just during the rainy season, from Sukkot till Pesach. Now, the question again on Sukkot, Rabbi Eliezer says the first day, Rabbi Yehoshua says the eighth day, and he challenges Rabbi Eliezer for his opinion. He said, if rainfall on Sukkot is a negative sign, why would you call God the rainmaker from the beginning of Sukkot? Rabbi Eliezer says, hey, my words, hey, I didn't say we should ask for rain from the beginning of Sukkot. I said we should mention that God is the Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem because it is on Chag that the world is judged for rainfall. Therefore, it would be appropriate to acknowledge the fact that God is the rainmaker. Rabbi Hoshua's retort to that was, if that would be the case, that you would mention it not when you want it, then we should say it all year round, which we don't. Therefore, we say it when we want it to rain, and therefore not for the first 7 days of Sukkot, but only thereafter on Shmini Atzeret. And that remains as the halakha that we follow. In fact, just to report for those who don't live in Israel, we had rain on and off at the first day and through Shabbat. Usually it was very light rain. I can't talk for all of the locations in Israel, but I happened to have been in Modi'in for the first day of Chag, and it started to rain very little before Yom Tov began, late afternoon on Wednesday, Erev Sukkot. In fact, we were treated to a beautiful rainbow in the sky, and we made the bracha on it, and that evening we had no problem eating. It drizzled, I don't even know if I could call it drizzle. It rained a couple of minutes, a couple of times during the first day of Chag, but not enough to chase us out of the sukkah, enough at one point to cover the set table with a plastic sheet to protect it because we didn't know that the rain would stop so quickly. Then on Shabbat, on Friday, Thursday night Friday, I was in Yerushalayim. I don't think it rained at all. And then on Shabbat, I was down at Otniel with one of my daughter's families. And there we had on and off rain a couple of times, also that very teasing kind of rain, few minutes. But at 4:15 in the morning, we were forced out of the sukkah. Six of us were sleeping there, and it was coming down quite heavily and for a sustained period of time. I checked with some other people, and it appears not to have rained that much in different locations, more towards Yerushalayim in the center of the country. And since then, I don't think it's rained at all. And now, bright sun and wispy clouds, little cottage cheese cloud I saw before, and that's the weather story. It's been a little chilly in Yerushalayim at night, and that's really perfect weather for sleeping in the sukkah. During the day it's been warm, and we'll see what continues. Bottom line, Uvechag nidonin al hamayim, on Sukkot we are judged for rainfall, and therefore there is a logic to suggest that we should mention God as the rainmaker even from the beginning. But that would give mixed feelings and mixed signals from us. We don't want to mention his being the rainmaker when we don't want it to rain yet. So we wait, as the halakha indicates, for right after Sukkot, the following day, the eighth day, Shmini Atzeret / Simchat Torah. However, there is a mitzvah in the Beit HaMikdash for the 7 days of Sukkot called Nisuch Hamayim, water of libation. Every day in the Beit HaMikdash, wine was used to pour on the corner of the Mizbeach, the altar, and on Sukkot, in addition to the wine, water was poured at the same corner at the same time, and that's considered to be an acknowledgement that we are being judged for rainfall. So we're not asking for rain yet, and we're not even mentioning God as the rainmaker yet, but there was a mitzvah carried out each day of the 7 days in the Beit HaMikdash, known as Nisuch HaMayim, which we could say is sort of like a silent prayer towards God that when the proper time comes, we should have plentiful rain. And that's the way it goes. There's a connection to the four species to water, but I won't get into that now. I just wanted to put the rain into perspective. Now, this leads me to Hoshana Rabbah, which is this coming Tuesday night, Wednesday, which is the seventh day of Sukkot. It is technically one of Chol HaMoed, which are those intermediate days where there are no heavy restrictions of melacha, but work is supposed to be minimized. It's a festive period that does not have the full sanctity of Yom Tov, but it has some kind of intermediate sanctity. And the specific flavor of Hoshana Rabbah is one of the culmination of the repentance, forgiveness, atonement process, which began back at Rosh Chodesh Elul through Slichot into Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the 10 days of penitence, Yom Kippur, and it didn't end at Yom Kippur. It changed its mood and its flavor from the days of awe to the days of joy. Nonetheless, the element of teshuvah and asking for a favorable judgment from heaven continues through till Hoshana Rabbah. On Hoshana Rabbah, the custom in Ashkenazi world, at least, is that the chazan wears a kittel like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that the tunes of the prayers are similar to those of Yamim Noraim, that we ask for Chatmenu B'Sefer Chaim Tovim, seal us in the Book of Life, which we already said on Yom Kippur, but we say it on Hoshana Rabbah as well. People still greet each other with Gemar Chatima Tova or Gemar Tov. It's a fulfillment, and I spoke about this in the last show, of the joyful element of repentance and atonement. So that's Hoshana Rabbah. There is a custom to learn Torah on the eve of Hoshana Rabbah. Some people do it all night long, and some just for a number of hours. But that was also different from Shavuot. It has the element of if the final elements of and the final verdict, so to speak, comes down on Hoshana Rabbah, then it's a good thing to be occupied with on the eve of Hoshana Rabbah. I would also suggest, I never saw this anyplace, but I would suggest that just like the night before we celebrate the receiving of the Torah on Shavuot, we immerse ourselves in learning Torah all night, before celebrating Torah on Simchat Torah, we immerse ourselves in Torah learning, not that night before, because that's Yom Tov, and there are other elements that compete, but the night before, which is the eve of Hoshana Rabbah, this year, Tuesday night. I guess that that makes some kind of sense. We'll finish this first half with the tune of V'samachta B'chagecha, You Shall Rejoice in Your Festivals. It refers to the three pilgrimage festivals, Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, but the context is Sukkot, and Sukkot has two other references to Simcha connected with it, and therefore we call this period of Sukkot and Simchat Torah Zman Simchatenu. We'll be right back with more Torah Tidbits audio for the rest of Sukkot. You are listening to the special edition of Torah Tidbits audio for the rest of Sukkot, Simchat Torah, and maybe Parshat Bereishit. Let's start this half with another melody, this time a Simchas Torah focused song. Actually, the words come from the piyut on Simchat Torah in some nuschaot. It's called Sisu V'Simchu B'Simchat Torah, Rejoice and Be Happy in the Joy of Torah. That has a lot of shades of meaning. It means we should be happy with the Torah should be happy with us, and both the people of Israel and the Torah should be happy with each other and have a good Simchat Torah and a good year. Speaking of Simchat Torah, in Israel, there is one eighth day of Sukkot, known as Shmini Atzeret in the Torah. We call the day Simchat Torah. Shmini Atzeret is the in English translation, the eighth day of solemn assembly. I don't know where that exact translation comes from, because it's a joyous celebration of the relationship of God with the people of Israel. This is after the more universal flavor of Sukkot, with its 70 parim, 70 bulls that are part of the Musaf offerings in the 7 days of Sukkot, and those represent the Umot HaOlam, the nations of the world, which, as descendants from Noach, were numbered 70 in the Torah. Whether there are more or not now is not the issue. There are actually quite a lot more, but they're known as the 70 nations. In any event, somewhere along history, the cycle of reading of the Torah was organized so that it ended and began on Shemini Atzeret, and that day was seen as a celebration of Torah and became known as Simchat Torah. Outside of Israel, where 2 days are observed, the eighth and the ninth day, the days are given different names. The eighth day is called Shmini Atzeret, and the ninth day, which is really a duplication of the previous day, is known as Simchat Torah. Now, calling it a duplication is really not a good word to use, because even though originally the rule for Chutz La'aretz of observing 2 days of Yom Tov should have produced two identical days, they don't. Shemini Atzeret outside of Israel has Yizkor, has Tfilat Geshem, and Simchat Torah has Hakafot at night and during the day, and the completion of the Torah. It's a very different flavor of the day. Here in Israel, and I must tell you, I've been here 33 years and counting, Baruch Hashem, it is still hard to get used to a single day that combines the seriousness of Yizkor, the memorial prayers, the seriousness of Tfilat Geshem, with the joyful celebration of Torah, of the Hakafot, and the Aliyah LaTorah, and the big Kiddush that the shul has, all in one day. When we daven, we refer to the day as Yom HaShmini Chag HaAtzeret HaZeh, or Yom Chag Shmini Atzeret HaZeh, depending on your Nusach, and there is no identity of Simchat Torah. But when we speak of the day, we call it Simchat Torah, and we don't really have a day that's called Shmini Atzeret except in davening. It's a day that takes on mixed emotions and mixture of prayers and behavior in the synagogue, and takes getting used to. Side point, although nothing is really a side point, in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, there are shuls that have a much more subdued and shortened hakafot on Leil Shmini Atzeret, and that matches the fact that we, here in Israel, have our hakafot on that night, and in Israel the custom is to have hakafot shniot, which is sort of to identify with Chutz La'aretz that are having their full-blown hakafot. The difference being that here it's after Sukkot is over, after the holiday is over, and they use live bands and are quite festive with the addition of musical instruments, which you don't have on the Chag. In any event, Shmini Atzeret has its own identity. It's called differently. If you say Chag HaSukkot by mistake, you have to repeat the davening in which you said that. On the other hand, both Shmini Atzeret and Sukkot are referred to as Zman Simchatenu, the time of our joy. So that sort of like indicates the dual nature of Shmini Atzeret. a couple of words about Geshem, rain. The prayer for rain on Shmini Atzeret, which is this coming Thursday, is the beginning of, as I mentioned earlier, the reference to God as the Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem. If one leaves that out of any Amidah from Musaf of Shmini Atzeret onward, all the way till Erev Pesach, actually all the way till the Musaf of the first day of Pesach, then the Amidah has to be repeated. In Israel and many communities elsewhere, where when we're not saying Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem, we say Morid HaTal, let the dew fall, or not let the dew fall, but God is the one who brings down the dew, then since that acknowledges his involvement in the weather, so to speak, then not saying Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem is not considered a fatal flaw in the prayer, and one would not have to repeat the whole thing. It's not considered defective because Morid HaTal also acknowledges God and his involvement in the weather. But if you have the practice not to say anything when you're not saying Mashiv HaRuach HaMorid HaGeshem, then without that, from Shmini Atzeret onward, you have to repeat the whole Amidah. In Israel, 2 weeks later, on the 7th of Mar Cheshvan, we start asking for rain in the weekday Amidah with the words V'tein Talu Matar Livracha, and we'll talk about that on the show on that particular Thursday. In Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, they don't start asking for rainfall until the beginning of December, and it follows the secular calendar, and again, we'll talk about that on a future show, Im Yirtzeh Hashem. So you have Tefillat Geshem, which has the solemnity of the davening of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The custom is the chazan wears a kittel, and the Kaddish is said in very similar style to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because it is another episode of a judgment day. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, is Yom HaDin, judgment day, and in a different sense, but no less serious, we have Tefillat Geshem on Shmini Atzeret / Simchat Torah. Okay, let's move on to Simchat Torah itself. Regular Shabbat, Chag, Rosh Chodesh, even every Monday and Thursday, we read the Torah. We have a relatively brief ceremonial words to say when we take out the Torah. We read the Torah, we put it back with some different passages, and that's the general story. When it comes to Simchat Torah, there are two very noticeable upsizing. Is that the word? Actually, the word upsizing doesn't even begin to describe it. Before we open the ark to take out the Torah, we have a responsive, festive exchange of verses from Tanakh. People are honored from the congregation by reciting one of the verses, and everyone repeats. And it goes on and on. Someone is honored with opening the ark. We take out not just the Torah, which we will be reading, but we take out all the Torahs. And we have a series, what's known as seven hakafot, circling of the bima, the shulchan from where the Torah is read. It turns out to be many, many more times than seven, but there are seven official circuits made, and then there is dancing in circles with the Torahs, without the Torahs, around and around, songs which can sometimes, in some places, they don't change songs often. They'll go 15, 20 minutes with the same song, and others change it every few minutes. And then the second hakafah, the third one, the fourth one, after the seventh the Torahs that are not to be read are put back into the ark, and the Torahs from which we will read are brought to the Shulchan, and they are read from. Not only that, but we do this at night time, the only night of the whole year when we will read the Torah. We read the beginning of the upcoming weekly portion, which in the case of Simchat Torah is not necessarily on a Shabbat. It's most often not on a Shabbat. And it is Vizot HaBracha, the last 54th portion of the Torah. We read the beginning of that Simchat Torah night. And that is preceded by the elaborate Hakafot, which can take half an hour, hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, depends on the style of your particular shul. So there are two outstanding features. Number one, we do this at night, unheard of any other time of the year. We do it again during the services in the morning. It takes a long time because you have Shacharit and a festive Hallel, and then you have Hakafot, and then you have the Torah reading of Simchat Torah morning, which is, as I mentioned, Vizot HaBracha. And the custom in most communities is to not just call five people to the first Torah for Vizot HaBracha, but to call everybody who's eligible to receive an Aliyah by reading it over and over and over again, the first major portion of Vizot HaBracha. And finally, when everyone has gotten their Aliyah, and in many shuls, right after you get an Aliyah, you go down to the Kiddush room, to the social hall, whatever, and you make Kiddush, and you have some cake, and some places you have Chont and Kugel and a whole big Kiddush. Then everybody returns to the Beit Knesset, the different stations where the Torah has been read, so that you could expedite the giving out of Aliyot, especially in large congregations. Those Torahs are returned to the Ark, and now the main focus is the Shulchan. The custom is to call an elderly member of the congregation to the Torah, to bring with him all of the young children who will stand by him and by the Torah under a chuppah that is made up of four guys holding the corners of a talit. And the reading is called Kol HaNe'arim, all youngsters, and the elderly man recites the brachot. Children who know how to do it say it along with him. Otherwise, people answer Amen, and the portion of Kol HaNe'arim is read. Then, one individual is honored by Chatan Torah, the groom of the Torah. He is the one who is honored by having the final portion of the whole Torah read. He makes brachot, again under a chuppah, big elaborate call-up rather than a simple Ya'amod so-and-so ben so-and-so, but a whole elaborate call-up, and this honor is considered very big in shuls, and you have Chatan Torah. Then you lift and tie up the first Torah. You take the second Torah, which is set for the beginning of the Torah, because we don't ever finish learning and reading Torah. We complete it, and we start it right away again from Bereshit. And this honor goes to the person known as Chatan Bereshit. And also elaborate call-up, pomp and ceremony, and he comes to the Torah, and the Baal Koreh, the Torah reader, reads the first chapter plus four psukim of creation. Then, from a third Torah, we read the Musaf, sacrifices of the day, from Parshat Pinchas, and it is a not unique, but a rare three Torah set of readings, and then the Haftarah by the person who received Maftir is the first chapter of Yehoshua, the book of Joshua, which is the perfect follow-up of having finished the Torah, and we now begin the Nevi'im by reading the first chapter of Yehoshua, which includes the verse V'hagita bo yamam v'layla, that the Torah is to be immersed in day and night. And it's a very significant and meaningful and joyous celebration of Torah. All of this is followed by Musaf, and as I mentioned, in Israel, since the day is both Simchat Torah and Shmini Atzeret, we have Yizkor and we have Tfilat Tal, Tfilat Geshem, and the mood changes, but all within the holiness of the day. What I just finished describing, sort of, is Thursday and Friday outside of Israel. Thursday in Israel. Thursday night, we already begin dismantling the sukkah here in Israel. Outside of Israel, it must remain throughout Thursday and Friday and Shabbat, and only Saturday night. Sunday, you get a chance to take apart the sukkah. But that's the technicality of the different ways that the holidays are counted here and outside of Israel. I want to spend a little bit of time on Bereshit, which we begin on Thursday. Outside of Israel, it's begun on Friday, and then by Shabbat, we're already reading the whole portion of Bereshit. I might have said this in previous years. It's something that I feel needs review. It is well known that there are 6 days of creation followed by the first Shabbat. The question is, where does the account of the first day of creation begin? I'm not going to go into the whole thing, don't have all that much time left. But let me say the following. There is a school of thought which I personally follow that says the first two verses of the Torah happened before the days of creation. Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Is an undefinable moment like the Big Bang, which is one way to explain it. It could have taken an instant. It could have taken eons. It's unknowable how long it took because the concept of timing doesn't yet begin. It describes creation, yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. Creato, or something like that, ex nihilo. Then the second verse describes the status of that which came into existence as v'haaretz hayata tohu vavohu. The earth was chaotic mixture, v'choshech al pnei tahom, and darkness over the deep, v'ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei hamayim, and the Spirit of God hovered over the water. Very difficult to understand what happened, except that everything came into existence where there was nothing before, except God. Then, in verse 3, we begin the 6 days of creation. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Vayehi Or. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Was light in existence before that verse, according to the school of thought that I'm talking about? The answer is yes, but it was part of a chaotic mixture of creation, and it was separated, designated, given its laws of nature, separated and distinguished from darkness, and identified as Or and Choshech, Yom and Laila. And that was day one. And then what follows is the description of day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and then the cessation from creation in the sanctification of the first Shabbat. The reason I like to mention this again is that it helps explain the age of things that we have in this world, because we count back the 5,775 years to the sixth day of creation. But this period at the beginning of Bereshit, unknowable, uncalculable, and that's all the time we have. So let me wish you a Chag Sameach, a Gemar Tov, a Shabbat Shalom, L'Hishtameach.